I feel like a lot of respect for our teachers are lost because of, what we have noticed is there's been a decrease in universities with people wanting to be teachers, especially special ed teachers.
Yeah.
I wish I could solve that and have everybody understand that we have, it's so rewarding, even though it's just, I wouldn't change my path for anything. It's hard to translate that to a 20-something year old who's looking at, you know, a salary scale and
right.
And what's, like, to your point, what's posted on social media that doesn't put anybody in a positive light.
That's a great one. That's a great one. Yeah. Yeah. If we could pay them what they absolutely deserve, people would be flocking to education because it's hard work.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brighter Together podcast. My name is Janet Courtney, and my special guest today is Sharon Castelli. Sharon is the superintendent at Uwari Charter Academy, and that's in Asheboro, North Carolina. Sharon, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. I appreciate your time today.
Well, tell us a little bit, Sharon, about Uwari and about your role there.
Sure. So I am the very excited and blessed superintendent of Uwari Charter Academy. I've been with UCA going into my fifth year, and we actually started out. Oh, thank you. Thank you. We actually started out a little over 13 years ago, and we're now, I guess we started out in high school with like 180 students, and this year we're now a K-12 school, and we're set to have over 2,300 students.
Nice.
So, yeah, super excited. Yeah. But in Randolph County, where Asheboro is, we're actually the largest elementary school in the entire county. So we've grown that much in so fast. So again,
yeah.
We were in a rented building in the beginning, and now we're all brick and mortar, and we're all on the same campus. So just happy and blessed. And we recently, a few years ago, received our 10-year charter renewal, which is the best renewal that you can receive. So we're super. And then, you know, we offer everything. We work with our community college, and we've got some super smart kids and clubs, and we're actually right now the reigning three-peat state champs in both wrestling and in baseball in the 1A division. So we offer a lot of things for a lot of different students. So
that's very exciting.
Yes, and just super excited about one of the initiatives we have started as we work with our students is our kids are going off to great places and great universities, but what can we do to feed the population that we are responsible for within, and again, being a charter school, we actually pull from like 9 different counties, but the majority are within Randolph and Asheboro. And then obviously we're finding that kids are going off to school and, you know, making those changes in what they thought they wanted to do. So we actually, with the brand new high school we just built 2 years ago, we actually built a career academy to help our juniors and seniors. And really, we start with our freshmen with a pathways program. It lets them does a lot of surveys, and it talks about their interest. And then that program actually lets them drill down even further to see what it looks like, what schools that they need to attend, what certifications do they need to attend. And then we offer some great classes that expand on that. We have culinary, we have welding, we have carpentry, we have game design, automotive, and of course we partner with our community college for even diesel mechanics, you know, or Montgomery Community College that has firefighting. They even have gunsmithing, which there's actually a wait list for that if you can.
No kidding. Wow.
But what we decided to do is we actually, being a public charter school, we're actually able to offer internships to a lot of our students. So we partner within, again, mostly seniors, but a lot of our juniors and seniors, we can partner them with a business. So for example, if they're excited about the medical field. We have partnered with our local pharmacies. We've partnered with our local hospital to offer internships for our students so they can actually see, do I really want to do this as a career? And, you know, we even had one student who was interested in dance, and we partnered her with a dance studio, and she decided that really working with children, even though she was wonderful at it, she knew that that wasn't in her heart to do that. And even we've got some students that are interested in being teachers. They actually are doing internships within our schools in order to see if that's something that they like. So it's just, we have kids doing marketing. We have kids that help with the chamber, students that are even in the communities and schools, kind of the outreach program, just in different pockets within the community. Thomas Tire, which is a great partner that we have. We actually had two students graduated and now have full-time jobs at Thomas Tire, and they will help with their certification. We have one student getting ready to go to another company, and if they stay, they're going to pay for their education as they move. So they're already ahead of the game, and you know, it's just a great opportunity that not a lot of schools can do. And again, this saves time for the business. It saves time and money for the student. And it just lets us know how we can maneuver and tweak. And like one company tried us out and had one intern, and it was such a great experience. They're asking for four. If we have student interest.
If you can get them, right.
If absolutely. You can get them, yes.
Right. Obviously. Yeah. So how did this come about? What was the brainchild for this?
So several years ago, when we were talking about building the new high school, there was talk about creating a trades school, kind of an offshoot, kind of a, I don't want to say at risk, but, you know, to give, you know, life skills or soft skills or kind of working. And we decided that's not enough. We want to build a career. You know, when they say being college or career ready, we actually wanted to really mean that. And we wanted them to make a living for their families. You know, as you already know, a lot of people are retiring in these great businesses, you know, especially, I mean, Ashburn used to be known for furniture making and manufacturing.
Oh, yeah.
But we're finding...
Now that you say that, I remember that.
But nobody's there to backfill those positions, you know. And what's funny is I can say, you know, a furniture company, but in that furniture company, there's also HR. There's public affairs. I mean, there's different layers can be doing, the finance department or accounting. So it's more than just one piece that again, kind of like that pathways, there's different components to what a kiddo can learn and expand on.
So, right. Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah. So what is the process for businesses that are interested, or have you had to beg, borrow, and steal, or have they been receptive? What's been
receptive. What we have done, for example, again, we're the only charter school in Randolph County, and we have done a really good job about being part of the community that we pull from. So we have done things like interest nights. When we were even building the Career Academy, we actually had the chamber. We hosted a night at the chamber. So we had business offices come, and we've hosted business luncheons or partnership breakfasts. So we are all the time sending out invitations and sending out thank yous and sending out opportunities. And yes, we, like any other school system, we do beg for funds, and we are exceptional grant writers. We've written, you know, millions of dollars worth of grants. We've already received one Golden Leaf grant. We're getting ready to submit another Golden Leaf grant that'll help with the health field. So we're just, you know, we're just doing whatever the community tells us that they need. And then we're saying, well, you're saying you need this, then you need to partner with us because we've got some exceptional students that may make your program better. And some of the partnerships or the internships start out as unpaid because the student gets credit. And some of those relationships have turned into, like I said, a paid opportunity for our students. So not only are they getting school credit, they're also getting a salary, which is really nice.
Nice. So tell me a little bit more about what a Golden Leaf grant is, because I'm not familiar with that term, and I would love for our listeners to know what that is.
So those are types of grants that it's community-based, so it has to be job-focused within where you live. So, for example, I can't ask for a grant for, I think, and I hate to say it, for... I'm trying to think. Cosmetology is a market, but it's not a big enough market. So we had to do it in like big, like manufacturing. So, for example, it helped our build our automotive class. It helped build our welding class. It helped build our construction trades class, because those are the markets that are in here. It really didn't help us build the game design class, because that's not a market that's needed in Randolph County, if that makes sense.
So is it a North Carolina? Is it something that's specific, or is it a federal?
I think it's federal. I'd have to do a little research on that.
That's okay. I'm just curious, because I'm not in the grant area, you know, and I'll tell you, boy, in education, it's amazing how much you guys have to know about federal funding and state funding and grant writing and understand the whole finance of it, because too many of us that are not on that side of it, we just don't know that piece of it. And it's a huge, you know, we think, well, the money comes from taxes or from whatever. And that is not necessarily the case.
Equipment, I mean, the one grant we had, $164,000 is what we received. And again, it goes into the lifts, you know, that brings up and down the cars. It goes into... you know, the welding, the bays, and we had one grant we received from Timken, and that helped a plasma cutting table, and it was like, you know, $50,000. I mean, that's equipment that a school just can't,
definitely not in the budget, right? Yeah.
No, that's, you know, our budget pretty much goes to salaries, you know, to be quite honest with you. I mean, we've got great instructors doing great things, and we certainly need to pay them for what they bring to the table. So
for sure. There is a crisis in this country, a massive shortage of special education teachers. We know how devastating this can be for your students, families, and staff. Lighthouse Therapy places experienced special education teachers in virtual, hybrid, and on-site roles, and we handle everything from hiring to onboarding to mentorship. These aren't just placements, they're professionals who understand compliance, collaboration, and care. Let us help you fill in the gaps with special education teachers who really understand. We are here to help. Visit lighthouse-therapy.com/brighter together to connect with us today. So so tell me a little bit more about the school itself. So you said that the charter's been around for 13 years. You started in high school. How did that, I just want to give people a little bit of the history of how you went from just being a high school to all the way to being the biggest elementary school in your county.
Yeah. So the founders of the school, their background was high school. So they were high school teachers, and the community really wanted something different. So that's why they started. Usually a charter school will start small at the
little community, and then they grow with the kids. Yeah.
They actually really only wanted to be a high school. But the demand was so great that they, you know, then they started middle school. So they, you know, went from K 12. And then obviously the next phase was, okay, now we need an elementary school. So originally Klausner, which is a furniture company that's no longer in Asheboro anymore, they rented a showroom and turned that into a high school. And then in 2015 is when they built the high school. And so those kiddos moved over. And then that space you know, at Klausner, then turned into the middle school. Uh-huh. And then in 2018 is when they built the middle school. So those kiddos then transitioned over. And then again, we were still renting that facility and still having, you know, great growth and a wait list, which means families are willing to wait to get into the school because we're a lottery. They turned that space into the elementary school. And the elementary school had actually only been opened a year before COVID hit. Mm. So that was tricky. So we just kind of stayed still a little bit. But again, when I came on board, there was already the need to, we need to be in our own space. And so we built the brand new high school. And then what we did is when we moved high school over, we moved the elementary kiddos into what was the old high school. So now they have their own space. So, and we did well. And now the, you know, the goal is to grow the high school and its programs and it's just exciting.
Yeah.
In a short amount of time, we've grown super, super fast. I think we had 18 employees when they first started the school, and now we have, you know, 250, and when you count substitutes and part-time folks and contractors, over, you know, about 300.
So how does it work in North Carolina for charter schools? And you said there's a lottery, so you're given a certain number of slots, is that how it works?
So yes. So usually, obviously, kindergarten is our growth because those kiddos move up. In high school, we also have a virtual academy as well in grade 6 through 12. So that way, if you're on the wait list, middle schoolers and high schoolers have the option to go in the virtual academy, and that still lets them do sports and some things like that. If they can't make it into the in-person school. But, you know, kindergarten, we have like 120 slots. Once those are filled, you know, if somebody leaves, we can backfill it with our wait list. But that 120 going to first grade main, and if all of them go, that means I may only have 4 slots for first grade because I can't add 30 to what's already a large group of kiddos. So, you know, it's just one of those. Fifth grade, there's more growth in fifth grade because they go from five fourth grade classrooms to 6 fifth grade classrooms. So I can add more to fifth grade.
Oh, okay.
And then as they move to middle school, 6th, 7th, and 8th, there's 8 classes. So I'm able to add more to the middle school. And then obviously we're able to add more to the high school. So that's kind of how we grow. There's less growth in the elementary school because if those kids carry over, then you know, those rooms are already kind of full.
So some of it is just the size and what you have available.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. It's not specifically the state saying you have this many.
No.
This many.
Now, the state will say that where it used to be, they've actually changed it. The growth, like, for example, if I wanted to grow the school next year, like a big chunk of kiddos, I'm only allowed to grow the school 20% of what I currently am. So they do give you a window. And if you're, you know, if you're a low performing school or a school that they're, you know, watching, then you may be limited on. But as long as you're successful, you're able to grow. I mean, 20% is a lot.
That's a lot of kids.
Yeah.
That's a lot of kids. Yeah. Yeah. What about special education services?
So we actually we're phenomenal. We have the best EC program that you can imagine. Our teachers are, one, certified. They are exceptional. We have everything from self-contained classroom to resource. At the high school, we have the what you're probably called OCS, which is the occupational student. So they don't quite fit into being self-contained or resource, but these are kids that can get jobs and have a good, you know, a good career, a good life. So we have great systems at all three of our schools. In fact, my daughter is a special needs student, and she'll be a rising junior this year. Mm. And she's just had the best time. We offer speech and OT and all the things to support our students.
You're talking my alley. Now you're in my lane. That's for sure. Oh, awesome. So what would you say is your biggest challenge that you're facing right now?
Well, I mean, obviously budgets is always the biggest challenge. And for us, you know, right now we're at max capacity, especially at their elementary. If we were to grow any more, means we have to build. And of course, there's an expense to that. So, you know, right now because we just finished the high school a couple of years ago, we're just trying to maintain and go back to being what made us so unique and special. But, you know, obviously funding is always an issue, and you want to do more, but it costs more, and, you know, those kind of.
And prices just keep going up.
And prices keep going up, and related service, all those things are, and not all charter schools, not all charter schools pay into the state retirement system, but we do. And that's why we're able to get the talent pool that we do. Like I said, our staff is phenomenal, but again, that's an expense. So just kind of those kind of things. It'd be nice to have more funding for resources, more funding for officers, more funding for nurses, more funding for counselors. Those are the extra pieces that you need and you want. And once you have it, you refuse to give it up.
No, for sure.
The value in it. So those are the kind of things. I think we've got our school. We've got really good funding for our teachers. It's those other pieces that make our kids successful that we need those extra resources for.
Yeah. Yeah. And somehow schools, you know, it just, there's so many things, there's so many needs, and, you know, communities look to the schools to provide even like social services and stuff like that. And it's just like, somehow we end up being the be all for everything. And it's so hard. You have to balance what you can do and what you can't do. And yeah, the second that you get something and it's going well, the last thing you want to do is stop that program, right? Yeah.
That's right. And what's nice is we do offer, we partner with an actual counseling service here in Asheboro, and they actually come to school and meet with the kids. So that way the parents don't have to worry about trying to get them to a 5 o'clock counseling session. They actually have already been served within the school system, which is
nice. Mm-hmm. That's really nice. Yeah, it's important. I know so much of what, you know, I've been doing this podcast for 3 months now, and the response to people wanting to talk about the good things that are happening in schools has just been phenomenal. And because there's so many, you know, I get on my soapbox and get frustrated with when I hear the media talking about, you know, poor education and blah, 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 blah. And I just want to rail at them. You know, it's like, you don't even know what you're talking about. Yes, there's problems. There's problems all over society, but there are so many amazing things that are happening. Let's talk about the amazing things that are happening instead of beating up our teachers, right? And beating up our schools.
And we know we're very aware of the work that we need to do and are going to be doing and are, you know, continuing to do. We've made quite a few changes in making sure that we've got our rigor there. But it's hard to be defined by a letter grade when, again, you don't see what's going on. You don't see our pottery class or our culinary class or watch the kids perform on the arts. And, you know, you don't see how many kids are going off to community college or straight to great paying jobs or 4-year universities. All you see is this one moment of time. That part is what's not fair.
And the only thing that they're looking at is test scores, you know, and the number on a page, and it drives me crazy. It really does. And having been in, you know, in and out of the educational field for the last 30 years, it's like, and more of it in than out at this point in my career. And it's just, and that's why Lighthouse and Brighter Together exists, and Lighthouse sponsors it, because it's like, stop beating up our educators. Let's give them an opportunity to talk about Career Academy and amazing things that are happening, and the kids that are winning, because there are kids that are winning. And it's not just, you know, private schools where everything's paid for, right? So, yeah. So one other question, and I try to ask this to most of my guests, and so I'll ask, and you can't say money. You've already said you need more money. Everybody needs more money, so I get that. So if, and I say miraculously because I'm a Christian and I, you know, I believe God is in control and there are things that he can do. But if you could miraculously solve one challenge in your school, what would you want to solve?
Oh gosh.
Like it's just, it fixes itself and it's gone. What were they?
I think the problem in education, it never fixes yourself.
That's why it's miraculous, right, Cher?
I feel like a lot of respect for our teachers are lost because of, what we have noticed is there's been a decrease in universities with people wanting to be teachers, especially special ed teachers.
Yeah.
I wish I could solve that and have everybody understand that we have, it's so rewarding, even though it's just, I wouldn't change my path for anything. It's hard to translate that to a 20-something year old who's looking at, you know, a salary scale and
right.
Seeing what's, like to your point, what's posted on social media that doesn't put anybody in a positive light. So,
right.
Yeah.
That's a great one. Yeah. Yeah. If we could pay them what they absolutely deserve, boy, people would be flocking to education because it's hard work.
It is. And again, I kind of, those special ed teachers, you just, that's a different heart that, you know, people aren't born with or they are born with. You can't just make that up.
Yeah. My cousin was a special education teacher her entire career. And the number of students that she has touched in her life and myself with being an SLP, you don't even know. You don't even know the number of children that you've affected in your life. And, you know, that's the work. That's the amazing work is those moments that you don't recognize. But boy, those kids will never forget.
Oh, yeah.
Never forget.
They know who was good to them.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Sharon, this has been a fantastic conversation. Where should people go if they want to learn more about you and URI?
Sure. If you want to Google us at uricharter.org, we also are on Facebook, obviously URI Charter Academy. And of course, if they Google Sharon_Castelli at uricharter.org, that's my email. And we'd be glad to make a connection if they want to support or partner or actually just enroll their kiddo in the lottery. Just come on in.
Awesome. And I'm going to spell URI just so people know. It's URHARRIE.
That is correct.
Awesome.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Well, Sharon, again, thanks for being on the Brighter Together podcast because we really are brighter together.
Oh, I agree. Thank you so very much.